This week's episode is brought to you by the Retail Innovation Conference and Expo.
First off, it starts out, obviously, we talked about inventory visibility. Check, check, check. Now, what do you do with that? You got to give a right estimated delivery date. Definitely on the cart. How many packages am I getting? When am I getting them? Right? And then you got to go upstream from that and funnel.
You're listening to Retail Remix. Your inside access to candid conversations with the people shaping retail's future. Here's your host, Alicia Esposito.
We have seen the data that indicates digital is influencing all stages of the browsing and buying journey, especially in stores. But it also seems like we're still having conversations about the digital and physical gap and how brands and retailers can close it. To really dig into the gaps, the challenges, and perhaps most importantly, the opportunities, I sat down with Zach Zalowitz and Justin Racine, both with Perficient. And Zach and Justin provide two very distinct points of view, because while Justin is on the unified commerce strategy side and has a lot of insight and experience digging into the browsing and product comparison and even purchasing process, Zach is laser focused on all things order management. So he has great experience and background on post-purchase and what the distinct opportunities are in that area. So needless to say, when they came together, we were able to reflect on the entire evolved customer journey. Listen in to get their take on what's really happening at all of these different stages, what new trends they're noticing from a digital perspective, and what you may need to think about in order to level up your customer journey. Justin, Zach, thank you both so much for taking the time out. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So we are at NRF. Hustle and bustle, it's the end of the day, we're all exhausted. So let's keep it light, let's keep it easy. Let's start with the basics. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourselves, your career histories, and of course, the work you're doing now at Perficient.
Sure, yeah, I can go first. So thanks for having us, Alicia. My name's Justin Racine. I'm a principal unified commerce at Perficient. I've been with the organization about 4 years. And I used to sit on the client side. So I used to be a client of Perficient and said, you know what, I'm going to go to the other side. We won't call it the dark side. We'll call it to the fun side. And decided to go into the consultancy world. And really what we do at Perficient is, you know, we're a digital consultancy that focuses on the Fortune 500. So the big brands here in North America, globally, we're really trying to help them extend exceptional experiences to customers. If our clients are working in retail or omnichannel or wherever it's at, we want to ensure that they have the best possible experience when they are buying with the brands that they trust. So my role is to work on the pre-purchase side of that and focus in on how do we deliver that experience digitally, but also support the other channels as well outside of digital that might bring someone into a retail storefront. A lot of folks' first iterations might be through a digital experience, but there's more things that kind of make that up.
Awesome.
So that's me.
Awesome.
And there's Zach, two people here.
Yeah. And Zach, you cover the bottom of the funnel, so to speak, and you also come from the other side, but the retail side. So yeah. Why don't you share a little bit about, because I think this is important context.
Absolutely. Good to see you again, by the way.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, I, like Justin, just came from industry. I spent the last year before Perficient running global digital tech, MarTech, and experience design, digital experience design at Foot Locker globally for about $1.5 billion line of business. And so 14 years before that was all in order management, order execution space, a lot of store fulfillment projects, similar style, in and around call center as well. Spent a lot of time with a lot of the leading retailers in the world, just working on those strategies around omnichannel with a lean into the stores. So covered that whole gamut over the last 15 years.
Yeah, and I'm going to have fun with this episode personally because we're kind of laying this out in context of the entire customer journey. So folks, you may hear a bit of a pattern through our questions here. So let's start at the top, right? Like that awareness and engagement stage, that pre-purchase, Justin, like you were saying. So let's start with,
I guess some of the challenges, I don't like being negative, but we have to like set a standard for the conversation, right? So Justin, my question for you is, why are some retailers still struggling to reach 20% digital penetration rates relative to foot traffic? Like, what's kind of happening in terms of engagement right now?
Yeah, I think a lot of retailers, obviously Zach can speak to this too, like COVID was a big setback when retail storefronts shut down. I think retailers holistically are attempting or trying to attempt to unify the experiences cross-channel. We came from a world where omnichannel has been the primary focus for the last few years, and we're moving into this unified commerce world where regardless of the channel that someone is in, if they're on a mobile app, if they're on their computer, if they're in a storefront, if they're using an Apple Vision Pro or, you know, Meta sunglasses, they expect the same experience regardless. And I think retailers maybe holistically have relied a little bit, maybe not too much, but have put a lot of their eggs in the basket of, well, people are going to come into the store because it's always going to be there. And then when COVID happened, obviously that kind of was a little bit of a upchange or a shift. So they realized that there was other things that they had to do to meet folks in the middle within pre-purchase to help them buy in the ways that they want to. And a lot of COVID things that happened during COVID changed that. Buying online, picking up curbside. Zach knows all this. I'm not going to steal his thunder. But on the pre-purchase side of things, it's about curating an experience based upon who a consumer is, not who they look like, and how we can do that in a way that is curated to the individual needs as a customer has. So that is, I think, an area that folks may have struggled with. And if you can identify and target those folks, you're going to obviously drive more foot traffic in retail because they feel connected to the experience.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll just add to that. You know, we were definitely focused on this at Foot Locker, and I think the industry metric, you should be trying to drive at least 15 to 20% digital pen out of total amount, right? So how do you do that was the question. Well, the answer is not having a really bad frictionful experience on the buying side. And that has everything to do not just with an experience design, obviously, but there's underlying tech and the integrity of the data that's necessary to pull that off. And so, you know, a lot of the metrics we'd use at Foot were 90% of the time someone had their cell phone out at the store, aiding them in the buying journey. They needed to see ratings and reviews. They needed to see all the inventory availability and the sizing. That's still broken, Misha.
Yeah.
Definitely in the market, it's a lack of investment. It is more reactory versus having like a really strategic and executable digital strategy. So people that aren't reaching that 15, 20% digital pen, it's because the investment in the systems, but moreover having a really clear, wonderful journey that's repeatable, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of retailers are still falling short there.
Right. So. And that's kind of like that digital divide. And I know some people hate that word, but it's like the most appropriate, I think. So when we think about those gaps, it seems like it is the technology not speaking to each other. It's the data not speaking to each other, not integrating. Is there anything else that you're kind of seeing, hearing in your conversations with retailers?
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of it. The blending together of the digital and physical world. You call it physical, right? Or, I can't even see.
Your body refuses to say it.
I am not going to say it because I physically can't. Yeah.
Digital physical integration.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. But the honest truth is that we just touched on this before too, but the marrying up of the digital experiences that people love and the physical in-store experiences that people love is going to be the way of the future. I mean, there is going to be a time when you're walking down the street with your Meta Ray-Bans on, you see a pair of sneakers you want, you look at them, and then it's going to identify what kind of Nikes they are, and you're going to be able to add it to your cart and purchase it. And I think that's only going to extend even further. And the other big piece is that consumers are desiring immersive experiences.
Right.
AR, AI, all that, you know, those are buzzwords, but it's really, how do you create something immersive that is curating anthropomorphism within a customer?
Mm.
Assigning human-like characteristics to a brand, if you can do that through physical and digital experiences, you're going to curate higher customer lifetime value.
Awesome. So you brought up AR and AI. So I want to break down into those, especially as you think about, that's like a commerce-related experience, right? Like when you use AR to digitally interact, quote-unquote, with a product and have that deeper experience. We saw a lot of uptick in AR, I feel like, during the pandemic because people couldn't go to stores. Obviously, there were still some gaps, but eyewear, we saw a lot of movement. Furniture, we saw a lot of movement. Are we going to continue to see that momentum? Like, is it worth that level of hype and investment? Are the the use cases getting more diverse? Like, where do you think we are there?
Yeah, I think it's going to. I think that brands are starting to experiment with it. You walk around the show here, right? And you see, you know, the different augmented reality, different window setups that people have where they're using digital screens. Yeah, I think brands are going to start to continue to push into it. It's still early. But the brands that traditionally and historically have experimented with newer tech like that are usually leading in a lot of different categories. So I think it will. I think AI, big buzzword, right? But I think AI is maybe a bit more ahead.
Especially, I was gonna ask about
that. Especially with retailers trying to leverage it in ways to curate styles, curate shopping experiences, or even write product descriptions versus having a product manager do it. You know, can you leverage generative AI to curate content and kind of reduce some of the headcount for brands? So I'd say AI is probably first, but AR is going to continue to push as well.
All right, awesome.
Yeah, one of the most interesting things you talked about, the digital divide, is it shortening, right?
Yeah.
We were really looking into it, Foot Locker. Technologies around within the mobile phone, and that's where the divide's getting shorter,
as
by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In the phone, a layered visibility of ratings and reviews, you can hold your phone up to the shoe wall, you can see all the ratings and reviews, you can see best size fit, you can see inventory availability, and then look and call for the shoes from the clerk in the back and let them bring you out. So that is the perfect example of how that divide's breaking down. Yeah. There's still been a lack of investment there. Right. And so getting that on the roadmap, understanding the ROI of it and being out in front of it is going to be a huge win. Whoever really starts to adopt that, not just in shoewear, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're moving to that much more rapidly than we have been the last few years.
Yeah.
Are you ready to explore the evolved customer journey where content, community, and commerce converge? At the Retail Innovation Conference and Expo, you'll learn how brands and retailers are embracing new consumer insights, new technologies, and new destinations to create relevant and resonant experiences. Taking place on June 4th through the 6th at McCormick Place in Chicago, the Retail Innovation Conference and Expo will bring some of the brightest minds in the industry together for unique networking and learning opportunities, including keynote speaker, marketing expert, and author of For the Culture, Marcus Collins. Check out the show notes to register today.
And what's really interesting about this show is, like, you start to see, like, obviously there are tech companies that play in their certain, like, sandboxes or certain areas, but then some are really trying to build out these ecosystems in order to address, I think, all of the points that we've been discussing thus far. So dynamic displays that do display, like, rich content and social media reviews and all of this rich insight from around the web, but then they try to integrate the mobile side to it, plus retail media, right? Like, we're seeing all of these trends kind of stack upon each other to create this richer ecosystem, which is crazy.
It is. And I, and you know, Zach brings up a great example about in-store, right? And I think one of the really great use cases that I like to talk about here is a lot of folks are starting their journey online. They want to buy a pair of shoes or pants or a certain style, and they're browsing. And then they're going into the store to see the actual products. How can you blend that together to where you take a high-end retailer, you pick one you want to use, you go into a store and that store associate already has the historical history of what someone looked at online, the styles they're looking at, so when they come in, they can maybe leverage beacons to know they're in the store and in those sections and come over and become a resource. And that's really the digital world of commerce and experiences coming into the physical side, but still leveraging the human part of that. And that, I think, AI is going to obviously remove jobs, but it's also going to create a lot too and provide better experiences. And I think that's something that retailers should try to focus on, is continue to leverage that human-to-human interaction.
Yeah, AI is going to kill off the mundane stuff in the employee experience.
Yeah.
And the best thing I heard yesterday in a few meetings is EX, the employee experience,
is
the CX.
Yep.
Right? So giving the devices, the capabilities to the employees, get them out of the monotonous task, using AI to help that, using AI to do that in the digital operations, will let those teams and these retailers focus more on being innovative, focus more on adopting things like AR. But there's the tax that's happening to retail. It was happening in my last year or so. And so that was absolutely true. And it's bogging down the pace of innovation, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think as we consider the in-store experience, it's been interesting to hear and see that emphasis on employee experience and what that looks like for so many different retailers, especially as we consider how all these touch points play together, right? So if someone comes in with their mobile device and says, hey, I see this product, like let's use Foot Locker as an example.
Sure.
Like, oh, I see it's in this store, like help me find it. And they can't because it's not in stock anymore. Like at that point of purchase, that's a lost opportunity. Then you're creating friction points at a time when the industry says, well, if someone goes to your store, quote unquote, they're going to spend more money, but you lost it.
Yeah.
So that seems to be a big disconnect still.
Huge knock on customer lifetime value. That friction or that bad buying experience, it just kills off loyalty easily. No amount of promotions would fix that in any retailer. It's a really bad promise made up front, compounded by an inability to execute it.
Yeah.
That still happens a lot. That's why I don't think a lot of organizations, brands, retailers have moved past omnichannel. COVID leveled it off. Everyone started to get BOPIS. Everyone started to get curbside.
Yeah.
Great. So now that's even, right? But what's holding back brands is it's moving to a unified state is a lot of that friction. Right, Justin?
Yeah. I mean, you're speaking my language for sure. I mean, you know, I think the thing that's super interesting too is that we talk a lot about like, what is a good digital buying experience? And sure, the site has to look good. It has to be modern. It has to have good workflows and cart checkout. But one of the things that Zach and I talk about on a daily basis with clients is order. You know where I'm going, Zach.
Yeah. Product
in order, visibility, and transparency.
Yeah.
Does the product detail page tell me when I'm going to receive the product? Do I have options to up the delivery times? And the big A company that's out there, the reason that they win, I mean, their product detail pages have looked the same for 10 or 15 years. The reason they win is because they're a supply chain company that happens to sell a whole crap load of different stuff.
Right.
And that is something that retailers and anyone who's in commerce have to start to embrace quite a bit.
Right. Yeah. And you see the big guys kind of keep up to an extent. But I guess the bigger question is, what does it mean for everybody else, right? And what needs to be done? Like, we used to think about last mile purely from a logistical, get the box from point A to point B, like end of story type conversation, at least from retail touchpoints perspective. But now we're seeing it come to the forefront as a core component of customer experience and brand experience. So I guess my question, this may be more appropriate for you, Zach, is around like this whole evolution of the last mile and the role that it plays in establishing and reaffirming the brand promise, right? Like, how are you seeing that evolve? Is it being prioritized the way it needs to be?
Yeah, the short answer is no, it's not.
Yeah.
And so think back 10 years ago, right? Think back, there wasn't ubiquity in pickup in store. Okay, so rewind back 10 years, not every store had pickup in store. Now everyone has to have it. Rewind 20 years ago, no one had 2-day. Now the speed is picking back up and customers are expecting it to be near their doorstep within an hour even, right? I've had a lot of orders online for that big company Justin mentioned, right? And I ordered it at 10 p.m. It was in my doorstep at 8 a.m. the next day. The question around last mile is interesting because that speed that's been driven and wanting to take pickup in store windows from 4 hours to 2 to 1 is the same supply chain vessel that is needed to execute the final mile as well. And so customers are quickly starting to expect that. The more the Targets, the Ultas, the Best Buys of the world move to that, that's, to answer your question, that's what's going to shift the rest of the market.
Right.
And everyone will be playing catch up, that 1%, driving the 9%, and then the other 90% follow along pretty quickly. The good news is the tech's there in a composable way to make that happen, and you don't have to spend 10, 12, 18 months drilling in a project. Now you can implement the tech around that much faster. It leaves the problem of the people in the process.
Yeah, and I think as we consider the evolution of the last mile, it's interesting to see how much transparency plays a role in all this and the expectation from the consumer standpoint of what they get during that journey, right? Like, I'm trying to think, maybe was it 5 years ago or so? Like, you placed an order and you got the confirmation and then you just kind of waited it out and you hope for the best.
Yeah, 5 to 7 business days, it'll be there.
Yep, and you look at the calendar and you just, you know, keep opening the door looking for the box, right? That is a customer experience in and of itself, right? Because you want the update. You want to be able to add things on while something's in transit, right? Like, so like, what are you seeing in that entire landscape? landscape? Like, what would you consider innovative, best in class? Like, what excites you about this portion of the customer experience?
Okay, so, wow. I don't know
this,
if we
this
have
may be a
time.
Whole other episode.
Yeah, I mean, look, if, first off, it starts out, obviously, we talked about inventory visibility. Check, check, check. Now, what do you do with that? You got to give a right estimated delivery date, definitely on the cart. How many packages am I getting? When am I getting them? Right? And then you got to go upstream from that and funnel. It has to be on the PDB. It has to start to be on the listing page now, and then getting up into the search arena. So that's going to be the next leveling off, getting estimated delivery dates. It's not just an inventory conversation, by the way. It's also labor capacity, especially if you're retailers with a bunch of people in the stores. You got customers picking inventory. So a lot of that solve and the catch up that's being done is being done from a system perspective through order management. So, but check that box, right? And so it's no longer just an order confirmation email. Now what you expect is, hey, if it's gonna be delayed, if you're gonna break that promise that you made to me, better tell me soon. Better tell me before I'm right. the one calling into your call center saying, where's my order, right?
Yeah.
That's an operational tax on the retailers. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So the leveling off that has to happen, right, on estimated delivery dates, it has to give way and leave room for better imagery and search and experience. A lot of the things we talk to AR, not being able to do the things I just mentioned is getting in the way, again, of being innovative. And it's taxing the organization on a number of different fronts. And until it gets solved, I think the whole market, that 90%, isn't going to be able to play catch up against the big guys. And they'll end up being less relevant.
Yeah,
I agreed, Zach. And I think, you know, the one thing that I always tell folks too is, you know, especially if a consumer is new to your brand and they've never worked with you before, you have one chance. One chance on the first time that they order to meet or exceed their expectations. And if you don't do that, and something like Zach was saying bad happens, they're not going to come back and buy again because they can buy from Amazon where they know that the fulfillment is likely going to go without a hitch. So, you know, and a lot of retailers, like as we talked about, they are keeping up, right? But they need to be pushing the envelope even further in providing ways to extend the ability for the brand to serve on the levels that consumers have on a day-to-day basis with other massive options that are out there. So setting those expectations on the first time, getting it right the first time, will create a customer for life. And then folks, they're not going to price shop because if you've met or exceeded their delivery expectations, they trust buying from you again.
Yeah. And what I find really interesting about post-purchase in particular is, so going back to Amazon's kind of like the elephant in the room, it's the benchmark, it's the gold standard. They do the delivery side really well, but where are the opportunities for, say, you know, smaller brands, emerging brands to elevate other areas, maybe if they can't deliver at the speed and scale that an Amazon can? And what I find really interesting is how the brand marketing and the logistics and fulfillment side can kind of come together. And that can be through, you know, sharing content like, hey, before you get that, make sure you watch this video on how to use the thing, right? So can you guys comment like what you're seeing in that space, where the opportunities lie?
Yeah, for sure. I think it goes back to what I talked about before with the anthropomorphism idea. That's, we as consumers, we want to have relationships with a brand. We want to see them as not just someone that we transact, it's someone that we interact with. And it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. Right? We want, you know, subconsciously the brand to understand where we're at in our life and what we're looking for and make curated recommendations based upon that, right? And that's where other smaller brands can leapfrog over Amazon, right? Sure, they can do that, but if I love Nike, I want to connect with Nike on social media, through their site, in-store. And all of those are touch points that have to go, you know, hey, you have to exceed that customer's expectations. So it's the delivery exception piece is important, yes. But as you mentioned, maybe there's a video that talks about how to clean your Nikes, or if you buy Nike running shoes and you're training for a marathon, how to set up your shoes the proper way. What's the proper tightness? Like,
what's a training program?
What's a training program? Exactly. Yeah. And that's where the added value is. It's like, oh, they're not just selling me shoes. They're helping me do something that I want to do. And they understand me. If you can do that effectively, you have nothing to worry about if you're a retailer.
Right. Yeah. It all ties back to that opportunity for storytelling, right? And Amazon is a strong brand for a lot of things. I don't know if storytelling the strongest one. Sorry, Amazon.
Again, not to throw them under the bus completely, but you're right. I mean, you know, that's the brand's opportunity is that they can tell stories and they can interact with customers in a way that maybe others can't. And we all have our favorite brands that we've grown to love and we trust them as well too. When they release new products, we get excited about them. We have emotions and tapping into that as a brand is critical because it's going to weather you when things go bad. And in the post-purchase side, there are going to be times where things don't go the way that you want it to go. But you have to find ways to rectify that with
post-purchase. Yeah, there's a recovery. There's a recovery.
The customer care center. Yeah.
Absolutely. We talk a lot in our halls and on our calls around, if you set a wrong expectation, then that's one thing, right? Not honoring it is another, and then not making up for it is the last piece, right? So not making a good promise is half the battle. That's an inventory and visibility. Check, check, check. Right.
Yep.
But like being good at exception management, that's a miss, right? A lot of people don't prioritize, well, what happens when things go wrong?
Right.
Supply chains aren't perfect. And so the execution goes wrong. Recovering from that to regain trust versus losing it is critical. So that's definitely a miss. I think more brands should be focused on that. And there's, again, Alicia, they're so busy getting taxed to just keep the lights on that.
Yep.
Focusing on just having a clear strategy on recovery is one thing, and it's there when you need it. And then once that's good and that's really dialed in, then you can get back to being a really great experience like Justin was talking about. That is one of the biggest drags, I think, on retail at the moment.
Yeah, and here's an analogy that I love to use, and I think you'll appreciate. Brands and retailers in general have to approach their customers like dating or marriage. You have to court someone initially. You have to, there's going to be tough times, but like Zach said, you have to get back to the experience or the core components of the relationship. And sure, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be all that that comes with it. But what I remind brands is, in order to win that customer initially, you had to court them and you had to be in a good place to show them what the value was. And you always, you need to come back to that, right? You can't forget the small things that you did in the beginning of the relationship down the road. You have to kind of come back to that. And that constantly reminds the customer, hey, they're still thinking about me. They're caring about me. They're taking me out to dinner. They're picking up the check rate. So all of those good things. But it's a good way of thinking about it. You know, you have to date your customers. You have to have that mindset of, you know, you're only as good as your last best experience. And there, you have to constantly be pushing the envelope there.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I mean, we're at NRF. Obviously, there's a lot of conversation around the fundamentals of good retailing. So a lot of things we talked about, you know, last mile experience, delivery experience, that creating that synergy between online and in-store. But there is some like forward-looking, you know, pretty cool stuff happening that may be a few years down the line, right? But I guess to close, I mean, what are you guys most excited about? Like, you are looking at this through the strategy lens, you're consulting and helping clients, so you may have a more pragmatic view of that more flashy stuff, but is there anything that's exciting you right now?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing for sure is, you know, the AR technology that's out there is super exciting. I feel like 5 or 10 years from now, we will be living in a society where you can have wearables on. You could be watching your favorite television show on Netflix and see a pair of sneakers you like there and pause the show and be able to interact within that experience to buy the products. And that opens up a whole nother thing for product placement and you know, how shows or movies are made. And I think the world of commerce is going to accelerate to a place where literally anything and everything can be purchasable. And we've already seen it through social commerce. We've seen TikTok's entrance into the marketplace. So the more channels that are out there, or there's a lot of channels that are out there, there's going to be even more channels that open up. So I'm super excited to see how brands adopt those other channels, but more so how AI, augmented reality, blends its way into the shopping experience to create an opportunity to touch the five senses that we have in a way that really generates high customer lifetime value. So that's me on the pre-purchase side. You know, I think if you can do that effectively, you'll be in a good spot.
Yeah.
Zach, how about you?
Absolutely. So this is an awesome question. But look, I think the pace of everything in our lives is rapidly getting much faster. We are expected to make quicker decisions, to buy quicker, expect quicker delivery, right? And so what I'm excited about for this space is, I think the puzzle pieces are on the table. The right technology, the tech's caught up in and around this. You can stack whatever you want. From a customer experience perspective, I think AI is going to just rocket ship us into a place where we buy differently. And that pace of those promises to be made and then in post-purchase, whether or not you fail at it, that is the critical battleground, and it's going to leave some people in the ruin, and the real people that are focused on it are going to win, and they're going to win big time. Absolutely.
Awesome. To be continued, right? Well, gentlemen, thank you both so much for taking the time out. It's always interesting to get the full scope of what's really happening in retail, what everyone's thoughts are on the trends that matter, how retailers are doing, and of course, where the industry is going. So thank you both so much.
Always good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Likewise. And thanks to all of you for joining us. Of course, if you have any follow-up questions for us, drop us a line on social media, on LinkedIn, at Retail Touchpoints, on Twitter or X now, I guess. Who knows? Maybe at our Touchpoints. Either way, we'll keep the conversation going. We'd love to hear from you. But for now, that is it from us, everyone. We will see you next time. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Retail Remix. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can find us on your favorite podcast player. Until next time, keep mixing it up.